And welcome back to It's a New Day here at 1180 MWFYL. We're just coming back out of a, at the top of the hour break.
Top of the hour to you.
There was a story that Fox News related out that I want to comment on a little bit is, of course, you remember the series, you know, we had two, actually. One was the big one, the fence jumpers at the White House. The one got actually into the White House itself before being tackled.
One guy have a knife.
Yeah, he could have. And but the fact is, when things like that happen, heads roll, and it's the part of the process, because the Secret Service itself, of course, is tasked with protecting the president, no matter who he is, and they also, as I was telling my colleagues here, you know, a lot of folks don't know this. Secret Service main role originally was to search out and hunt for counterfeit money, and they still do.
Yeah, I think that's interesting.
They're under the Treasury Department. Well, what happened is a review had taken place of procedures, and of course, when you come to procedures, you're talking supervisors and managers that see the things go on. And like all realms of the federal government, you get bad supervisors and managers in there, but it always seems to be that a lot of line people end up being released, and they have, you know, the government has always been notorious for keeping the supervisors and managers, no matter how bad or good they have been. Well, in this case, they have decided to remove. So one, as you heard on the report, retired. The others are being moved, and some are being moved around to lesser positions. And this goes on. This goes on. It's a little bit more important now because it showed the lacks of the security measures that came into the White House. And it's also the fact that the lack security measures, in my opinion, and in the opinion of others too, is that the Secret Service, like the military, has a very low morale rate. And you take a look, even with the fact of the president not going to Paris, one of the throw under the buses and excuses been used is that the Secret Service wouldn't have time to react. They have time to react. They have plans in that. And they've been thrown under the bus on a number of different things. With that being set aside, it's still the mission that is there. So they're removing management and putting in new management in there. It's the process that is done to keep the efficiency up. And this is a tough
one.
Well,
I mean, you wouldn't expect anything less after the circumstances that happened. I mean, if they didn't let go of some people,
they
would not have looked good.
Yeah, with the two breaches that went on, and this last one being the most serious, where the person actually got into the White House.
Right. They ran through. Like,
yeah, heads got a roll on that one.
Yeah.
Heads got a roll on that one. And like I said, it doesn't matter who the president is. And so that's the latest report that's out there. It's one of the biggest shakeups that they had. In fact, the director of the Secret Service actually stepped down from it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she
and
did.
And so, you know, there is times a shakeup is needed.
Wasn't it a little over a year ago there was a woman who drove into the gate at the White House and led a police chase through D.C.?
Yeah, she ended up getting shot up at Capitol Hill because she had a weapon in the car, too. So, you know, security is a tough realm. And speaking of security, moving right along, of course, you heard earlier this week, we didn't get to it, Speaker of the House John Boehner. They arrested an individual, Michael R. Hoyt, who, he threatened to kill the Speaker of the House, John Boehner.
Why some people, like, I don't know how they think that's going to pan out.
Well, he,
like, where did he threaten him? I didn't
mean, really.
Well, what happened?
I saw the headline and I just went kind of like,
yeah, he blames Boehner for Hoyt told officials he told them he was Jesus Christ, not Boehner. Hoyt thought he was, and that he was going to kill John Boehner because Boehner was mean to him at a country club because Boehner is responsible for Ebola. So they got him, and he also went on to say that he could have poisoned Boehner in the drinks that he made because he was a bartender, but he didn't do it. And so,
what a weirdo. Why would you say this stuff?
Well, you know, there's loons of all types out there, and this person, the mere fact that, you know, Boehner is responsible for Ebola, you see what I'm saying? Now, Boehner himself, this is the problem of being in political high positions or being in positions in government. You get this. Boehner, there's an interesting thing that came out, the finish of thought on Boehner itself. We're hitting three hot topics in one quick segment here.
Lightning round.
Boehner on the floor of the House lashed out against against Obama in the high-stakes immigration battle. Now, this comes on the heels of meeting with the anointed president in the White House, Mitch McConnell, was there. The leaders of the House and the Senate, which are now in the Republicans' hand, and there was minority leaders there as well. Nancy Pelosi, oh, that's always a joy. Harry Reid couldn't make it. Harry Reid's in the body shop trying to get repaired from his exercise at home damage that he did to himself. But Boehner, now this is interesting with Boehner. Yeah, he actually spoke out against. He spoke out before, but these were in more harsher terms. And rightfully so. Now, the do the talk is one thing. The do the walk is another thing. This is one of the reasons why Boehner was being challenged so severely this time around. I knew he was not going to lose the speakership because he is entrenched in it, but there was enough there to get attention. I think I said afterwards, maybe this is a shot on Boehner's bow that'll wake him up. Boehner goes to this meeting, he comes back, and he elaborates. I have not seen the video. I've read different little things about it. I'm going to look at it and to hear what he said. Boehner can come across as a man when he's mad, you know, he spouts it out. Yes. But let's see if the actions come in there now. What are they going to do? This is what the American people want to know.
Yeah, because I think people are sick of being trying to be won over with words. At this point, it's just kind of...
Yeah, it comes down to...
We need action.
It comes down to blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Well, what's turned to blah, 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 and what are you going to do about it? It's so many people come up there and are so easy to point foul. But then when pressed, well, what are you going to do about it? They don't have an answer. And those that have an answer that have credence are ones that will... Here's the situation, and here's what needs to be done. You know, I will listen to a person like that, even if they're off the wall. I will listen to a person like that than somebody that's just target shooting in the dark with accusations. Those are easily done. So I give Boehner kudos. He needs to step up on his game, because when he won the Speaker of the House the first time, oh, he was talking the line and accomplished nothing. When it came to Obama, he was just folding on a lot of things. This spending bill did not help him, so he was challenged. Now he comes out, he goes to this meeting at the White House. It, you know, as I said, the meeting came out basically Obama saying, you do things my way, we won't have a problem. Well, you know, and Boehner comes back and in the House chamber. He lashes out. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Well, let's see what happens now. Remember, it's for us.
Right.
Not for them. It's for us. So we're going to keep an eye on this.
As much as they'd like you to think it was for them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Certainly is for us.
Yeah, you know, this is the problem in which we dealt with a little bit in our Constitution seminar, is the fact that when these politicians become career politicians... And, you know, it's kind of like professional sports. If you're a goalie for a hockey team, every year you have to basically try out and make sure that you still have your job on the team and don't go to the farm club. Well, that's the same thing with politics. And I always find it interesting in the political realm is that FDR, who was supposedly the man who saved the world, closest thing we came to a dictator in this country in the number of terms that he
Three
had.
Three terms, right?
If he Four was terms. So great and fine, how come the man wasn't cold in his grave when they passed an amendment limiting the amount of terms a president can serve?
Yeah.
Now, George Washington set the pace. When Washington and all those before, there was no term limit. Washington served two times, said, I had enough of this. And it became two times.
And that was a more of like a common law kind of thing, right?
Yeah,
it was
well,
like an unspoken...
It was a professionalism to
right.
it. And then FDR brought it to a point where it just was off the rails where I'm going to be the president.
Well, if you think about it, too, it had a good long run at two terms before a law needed to be passed.
But, you know, you get one. Take a look now. We've got one. It's probably going to change the ballgame for the president.
Right, well, we always talk about the one person that ruins it for everyone else.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does.
Well, I think this is kind of a little teaser for your We the People, Bruce, because we have some interesting candidates coming
comparison.
Up in,
yeah, we're
in 2016.
A little hint. We're going to do a comparison.
Some looking good, some
Yeah, it's a comparison between two of them. Both of them are well known. So that's the little tease on that we're going to do for We the People. But, yeah, there is some change afoot that's taking place there. And, you know, again... When it comes to Boehner, okay, ladies and gentlemen, we hold him to his feet to the fire. You've set it, sir. You've set a path. Let's see if you can proceed on that path.
Yeah.
And you're not going to turn your eyes away. You know, keep the eye on the prize and don't look away from it. Keep going. This is the goal to go through. And it's going to take things such as overturning vetoes. Mm. And as we saw with the Keystone Pipeline, the number of people that are for it, Republican, Democrat, and Independent, versus the numbers that are for a veto.
Yeah, but even then, I think folks just want to see action.
Yeah.
Right? Like, why waste our time in the House, and, you know, and then for it to go to the president's desk and then die?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had Harry Reid.
Like, what are we paying them for?
Right. We had Harry Reid, the obstructionist, like Obama, would not take the heat for the do-nothing Congress because the House of Representatives was doing. But Harry just made sure it didn't go any further. Mm-hmm. Now it's processing through, good, bad, or whatever. It's processing through. It's going to the president's desk. And to say you're going to veto something or do something on something you haven't even read, you haven't even... It isn't even out of committee.
Well, that's what happens. You don't read a law. I mean, you don't read a law, and then you're like, oh, I know the gist of it.
Right, right.
So it's,
well, you might know the gist of it, but, you know, you got to read it.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, what did Nancy say? We have to vote it in
pass,
to find
pass
out.
The pass the bill in order to see what's in it.
I mean, that's nuts.
Dude, that'll go down as the worst ever stated.
Oh, I don't know. What difference does it make his ranking up?
That's
there, too?
True,
you know,
there's,
you know, and
true,
there's a whole list of them.
We have to head to a commercial break, but we will be right back after this. Please stay with us here at 1180 WFYL.
Welcome back to It's a New Day here on 1180 AM WFYL, working for your liberty. Right now, sitting next to me, we have a guest in our studio. We want to give a warm welcome to Sarah Benowitz. Welcome into the studio this morning.
Thank you.
And if you could talk to us a little bit about what you do. It's fascinating. We're all very intrigued here, Andrew, Bruce, and I, about dumpster divers. And I know you're located in Philly, so maybe give us a little background on who you are and what you do.
Okay. I am part of a group of about 50 or 60 artists who make art out of trash, fine art out of trash. And then we show it in shows throughout the region.
So how did you get into this? Were you always intrigued by, I mean, typically I think when someone thinks of art, they think of painting or coloring or something like that. So how did you get into dumpster diving?
Well, I don't literally dive into dumpsters, although some of the members do dive into dumpsters. Let me just tell you that originally the group was called the Dumpster Diners back in the 90s when it first formed. It was seven friends. I was not one of them back in that day. And they would meet at a diner once a month to talk about ways of using trash to make art. One of the founders is an architect. And so he came into a lot of sort of scrap building materials and was making pieces out of those. I joined in 2011, and I had always been interested in not throwing things away because I was raised by a father who had me late in life and had lived through the Depression and saw value in everything.
Sure.
And I think that's true of most of the dumpster divers in the group that they...
Mm-hmm. There's a whole group of art in the world that is used in recycled materials and all kinds of things. So I would say that, you know, what's the old saying of one man's trash is another's treasure, you know?
Absolutely.
And I think sometimes we can be incredibly wasteful. And to be able to see the value in that and to have fine art, I think, you know, for some folks, it's even more intriguing that it's recycled materials.
Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely. I think, you know, the green movement right now and everybody's interested in the environment mm-hmm. Is making more and more people into artists who make stuff out of trash.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Sarah, I see here that you have your artist statement. I am inspired by nature, eyes, psychology, and repurposing. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Well, I've always been interested in psychology, and that was my major in college.
Okay.
I did not major in art because I, at the time, thought that in order to be an artist, you had to be Van Gogh or Picasso and have
right.
be very famous and have your art in museums. I didn't understand that there was any other way of being an artist, so I didn't take that dive. Let's see, what else did I say? Eyes. I'm just really grossed out by eyes, but also really intrigued by eyes. I think they can either be incredibly the most beautiful part of a person's face, but also the most horrifying and disgusting. What else did I say?
You nature. Said nature.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
Nature. A lot of the art that I make is not just from trash, but also like seed pods and pretty dried grasses and whatever that I found out.
So not necessarily
outside.
Something that is, you know, recycled, but in a way it is if you're using seed pods and grass and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a wonderful artist named Xu Bing who uses a lot of old recycled industrial materials, a lot of natural materials. To create his art. And that just bring up a lot of that. But I can see, you know, obviously eyes. I'm looking at some of your pieces, and there's a lot of centerization around eyes there. So
yes, there is. I like that centerization.
That, yeah.
Centerization.
So, Sarah, how can people see your art? Do you have a website, or is there – I see you have gallery hours.
Actually, the Dumpster Divers have a website, the Dumpster Divers of Philadelphia. If you Google it, it'll come right up. And almost all of the artists who have websites are listed on the right side of that website, and you can click on each of them to see their personal website, including mine.
And am I to believe there is an event slowly or something going on right now?
Well, there were two things that are going on, that went on this week. We had an opening on Friday at the Goggleworks in Reading, Pennsylvania. It's a beautiful, beautiful space. We have a wonderful show that just opened on Friday, and I think it's there for about a month. Lots of 24 dumpster divers participated in that show. And then the day before yesterday, we had our annual Dumpster Diver Award Banquet. We have that every January, and everyone can bring in awards that they've made out of trash to give to each other for various things.
That's pretty clever.
So I see, the title here, Upcycling the Art of the Dumpster Divers. Do you want to explain to our listeners what exactly upcycling is?
Mm-hmm. Upcycling is taking something that would have otherwise been thrown away and making it into something new.
So what's your favorite piece that you've created?
Let's see. I have two favorite pieces that I've created. One is the dress that I wore to the awards banquet 2 days ago, and I was very excited to win the Golden Hanger Award for Best Dressed Female. It was made entirely out of plastic bags that I sewed together.
And how long does that take you to create something like that?
That took me several weeks in that case. That was very work intensive.
And how many bags did you use, do you know?
Oh, my God. Probably 80. Because I was trying not to have brand names show, so I was patchworking pieces of the bags together and then sewing them on a machine and by hand.
Oh, wow.
And my other favorite piece is made out of an old garden hose, and I made it into a tree.
Do you do that?
The people at the hardware store near me, Dex Hardware, helped me figure out pieces of metal that I could put inside the hose to give it structure.
Interesting. Yeah. Very interesting. Oh, so you used a lot of hose then, right?
Yeah, almost an entire hose.
I was going to say, you use not just a small section of hose, but an entire hose.
No, an entire hose.
Good. That's very good. If somebody wanted to join Dumpster Divers, is that eligible to be just, you know, can you hop in, as it pun intended, and start working? Or it seems like it's just more of a collective.
It's a collective. It's a club. We meet once a month at someone's home. I think the only inhibiting factor size-wise to the group is just that we all be able to fit.
It seems like you have a lot of people. It's really grown since the 90s.
It really has grown, yes. I mean, people tend to be friends with people and bring their friends in, or people approach the group and, you know, and show their work.
Do you get folks that show up and then, you know, maybe it's not for them and then they leave?
I don't know that that's ever happened. We have members who have moved to California and Florida but are still members of the group.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So once you're in, it's you get hooked, huh?
Pretty much. Yeah, it's a fun group.
So what would you say the goal of the group is? Do you want to educate the public more about upcycling and things like that? Or are you just kind of in it, you know, just as a fun thing to do? Is there certain goals that you guys have, or is it mainly just for recreation?
I think everybody in the group has a different goal. I personally care a lot about not throwing things away and getting that message out.
Okay. And what would you recommend to our listeners of ways that they can upcycle things in their own home even?
Well, Neil Benson, one of the founders of the group, his mantra is trash is a failure of imagination. And I think that's absolutely true in every way. From figuring out how things can get recycled on a government scale, and also just on a personal scale of trying to figure out ways of reusing what you have.
So is this group open to all ages? What would you say the cutoff for?
Definitely. The founders are in their mid-70s.
Okay. Wow. And then what would be the youngest age that you would say someone could join us.
Well, I don't know that it really matters.
It doesn't matter. By a parent, but
I really don't think I don't think there's any boundary.
Sure.
Okay, and then do you want to just tell our listeners one more time about your gallery that you have right now at Goggleworks, where that's located and what times they can show up?
I don't know the gallery hours, but the Goggleworks has its own website with all kinds of information on it.
Yeah, I see here daily 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. That's what I saw online. So,
And it looks like the show is going till February 22nd.
February 22nd,
Very worth the trip.
Well, great. And then one more time, a website for the Dumpster Divers.
I think it's dumpsterdivers.org, if I'm not mistaken, but you can just Google Dumpster Divers of Philadelphia and it'll come right up.
Great.
Wonderful. Yeah, the power of the internet, right? Sarah, just quickly moving forward, what do you see, you know, what would you like to do in the future?
I think just continue doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. I just finished an internship at TerraCycle, which is on the cutting edge of upcycling and recycling, and I'd love to see more of those companies arise as well, and I'd like to work for them.
Sure,
too.
Yeah. You're right with this green revolution and the time we live in. I've even seen, you know, they've got those shows like Flea Market Flip and just repurposing all kinds of things. Obviously, the flea market flip is more for a capital profit, but you know, certainly making something that is a beautiful work of art as well can be just as rewarding.
Absolutely.
Sarah, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.
We're going to head to a commercial break, but certainly check out dumpsterdivers.org. And welcome back to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL. 34 minutes past the hour. We want to thank everybody for tuning into us today.
Who are you?
I am Andrew Turner.
Is that who you are?
I am indeed.
Oh, I'm Bruce Sacking.
Yeah,
are you? Yeah. No doubt the voice changed. No, I don't think I can carry off. I'm a Corinne.
No, probably not. Yeah.
I'll let you be Corinne. I'll be Bruce. How's that?
That works.
All right.
That works for me.
Well, diving back into the news after our dumpster diving.
Dumpster diving into the trash and now diving
into
the...
Interesting whole repurposing of things.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And especially when some things that people can make with it's just astounding. So certainly something to check out. But yeah, diving back into the news.
Yes, we want to tax the listener a little bit here. If that wasn't a lead-in pun, I don't know what is. Of course, when the...
You're so clever.
Yes, that's right. When the first of the year comes around, we all begin to think about that painful day of April 15th. And it's even more painful this time around because we have to deal with the punitive actions of taxation. That sounds illegal to me. With the Unaffordable Care Act. And, of course, the IRS, the Infernal Revenue Service, is the ones that are going to be collecting that. So what that comes is another briefing for you if you don't have health insurance and you file your taxes, you will be fined. And the fines have increased 200%, if not more.
Where are they going to find you?
Well, where they're going to find you.
Where are they going to find you?
Believe me, they find you. And so what they're going to do is they will take a look at if you're going to get a return, you don't have it, they will garnish your return. And if it's the garnishment of your return is not meeting the penalty phase that you are going to encourage, you will get a bill.
Ooh.
Yeah.
This is fun.
This is your government that's here to help. Now, the IRS chief warns of refund delays. Poor customer service. Warns of poor customer service as the IRS. Have you ever tried to call a government agency? And have you ever gotten a human being?
Well, I think I've told the story before about how when I applied for a passport, my birth certificate and Social Security card were stolen.
Yeah.
I say stolen because they were lost by the federal government. And they told me that the post office had. When I called the post office said, I hate to break it to you, but we never received those documents from the U.S. Passport Office. So literally everything that makes Andrew Turner me was taken from me.
Well,
so
that's all right.
Therefore, I say stolen.
And that's now everybody wants to be Andrew Turner.
You know, and the efficiency of the federal government many years before my father even passed.
I'm sorry. Did you say efficiency?
Yeah, the efficiency of the federal government many years ago before my father passed away. He got a letter from Social Security. Actually, my mother got it for condolences of my father's death.
Right. You've told me about that.
So, yeah, he had to go in and prove that he was still alive. Yeah, that's a great one. So,
that's so bizarre.
John Kosigan, who is the IRS commissioner, in an email sent to workers, and it was obtained by Fox News that came out with this story, that you know, he's talking about, well, we're going to have to delay returns because we have the Unaffordable Care Act. We've lost money. And so the and he goes on and says the effect of these cuts will hurt taxpayers. Well, the mere fact that we have IRS, that is the extortion arm of the federal government, that it hurt taxpayers. Anyhow, now, that's not saying there are some that game the system and cheat the law. Al Sharpton comes to mind. But yet, hey, they don't go after him. They'll go after you, me, and everybody else. So, but it's going to delay the system on returns. Mm. Now, it's very funny is that their, you know, Flim Flam in chief laid it out with the Unaffordable Care Act and put this burden on the IRS. The IRS got themselves into a financial bind because of people like Lois Lerner. And I guess they don't want to take away those quote unquote rogue agents that are going after conservative 501c3 organizations and don't want to take away from that to deal with the duties that they're there for. So, yeah, just be advised your tax return may be delayed. Just because you get in on time doesn't mean. Now, I also find this funny, too, with the federal government, that if you ask for a delay in paying them, oh, no.
Oh, no, 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 no.
No, no, no. But when they going to do a delay paying you, yeah, no problem. No problem. Hmm.
Is there anything that we could do about it, though?
Yeah, we can do what Ted Cruz said, abolish the IRS.
And then what?
We can also remodify and go back to the income tax the way it was originally designed for people's labors. We can overturn the 17th Amendment. Why don't we just do these?
But how many people know the 17th Amendment, Bruce? We're giving people too much credit.
Well, they can tune in on Fridays from
7 to 8
here on 1180 AM WFYL and listen to We the People Constitution program that we have. In fact, Gary Porter's going to be talking about, and we'll be talking with our panel tomorrow, about one of the things is the convention of the states that'll deal with overturning these things. So stay tuned, folks, for that one. But, yeah, a little bit of, well, shall I say, government-sponsored terrorism that deals with your financial future. And I thought I would let you know that. You can look into it more, but things are going to be delayed. And just remember, you don't get delays in filing. They get delays in returns. Now, speaking of terrorism, you have something else on ISIS.
Yeah, ISIS is forcing children to donate their blood, which really just boils my blood, honestly.
Why children? I'm curious.
Because young bloods.
Innocent and, I don't know, I guess, I mean, they love to brainwash.
They're innocent.
Well,
I don't know if that's the difference.
They're not innocent after this, well,
take a look at
the story yesterday.
Yeah, this young boy, you know, executing two alleged Russian spies.
Yeah.
They videotaped it.
Well, because children can't fight back. For the most part, they're smaller in size. I mean, it's just really,
because they're not the fighters. So they're not the fighters, so they're using them as a blood bank.
Yeah.
Well, they also
terrible.
Use them as human shields.
Yeah.
These cowards
and the Kurds,
use women.
That's a good word for them, cowards.
These cowards use women and children as human shields.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, they're going to do the tough thing, but they're going to hide behind civilians.
You know, I've still seen a lot of folks, depending on what news source you're reading from, it's either it's still ISIS or ISIL or IS. There's the three names for them.
How about vermin?
Right, that would be good. That
you said animals earlier.
No, I said,
no, that was about.
No, I didn't want to degrade animals by having
true. Well,
technically, we are all animals.
These parasitic vermin,
right?
You know.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's ridiculous. Well, I got a little ridiculous to go on top of that too.
Let's hear it.
Did you hear earlier this week that a Saudi cleric declared that making a snowman is anti-Islamic?
What?
You should have told me about this. I would have found some kind of song from Frozen for us.
Yeah,
because Frosty the Snowman, they can come to life. So I could see.
But first off, Saudi.
This is
in Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia. Yeah.
Do they get a lot of snow out there?
Do you have a snowman issue?
Well, just because, you know, I think
that's like being like, all right, Eskimos, you're not allowed to feel warm.
I think in the northern
anymore.
Part they probably do.
Really?
But yeah, he's stating that it's anti-Islamic because it's an effigy of a person, and the only person, of course, and you don't do effigies even of him, is a Muhammad. But yeah, these
no snowmen.
No snowmen. No snowmen.
I never thought that snowmen could be considered an issue. But
so, Andrew, maybe going back to your point when I did the weather about you were looking for some snow, we got something to do when it snows.
Right. That's right. We can go build a Muhammad snowman.
No, just build a snowman.
Wait, but that was what they said. They said it was a depiction of Muhammad?
No.
I thought I heard you say that.
A figure of an individual, which is wrong because, you know, and that it goes against, you know, they're making this stuff up now.
Yeah. They're literally just trying to cause problems out about nothing.
Yeah, what are they giggling at? Like that boardroom conference where they're like, all right, listen, no more snowmen. And they're like, is this a problem?
Saudi Arabia, aren't they allegedly tied in and allied with us in some way? You know, Saudi oil. We had our bases in Saudi Arabia when we went into
Iraq. But they prosecute Christians, too.
Yeah, you know.
They don't allow women to drive.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That whole
bad drivers.
That whole women thing. I don't see these Hillary Clintons or
the war on
Elizabeth
women.
Warrens or Pelosi or any of these promoting.
Who's the protector of the snowmen?
Yeah. Hey.
He needs to step up.
Hey, we got to get Frosty.
Who's going to stand by the snowmen?
We got to get Frosty.
Well, we did interview St. Nick, was that?
Yeah. Well, you know, the snowman, you know, he comes and goes.
Right.
You know, so
it's true.
But no, we had Santa Claus in here.
Wasn't much
of an interview. He just brought his annoying
and the elves.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, but yeah, I thought that was a little bit ridiculous. So
a little bit.
That, you know, and I said this before just to be a little bit encouraging. I think this stuff is now finally coming to a head. I really do.
Mm-hmm. What stuff?
I mean, since the attack in Paris and you saw a unity there on Sunday in Paris of leaders. Ours
pretty cool pictures
excluded.
That they put up.
Yeah, you know, yeah, it's symbolic. Yeah, linking arms. Yeah, here's Netanyahu. They all stand in there. Of course, we're absent. And there's a unity that's coming about. And I've always said, out of bad comes good. Europe is waking up. Yeah, very very possible.
Well, we did mention yesterday. I think we talked about it with us, but the mayor of Rotterdam, which is in the Netherlands. There was a gentleman in Rotterdam who is the mayor of Rotterdam, if I'm not mistaken, and they mentioned that he's talking to Islamist extremists, and he said, you know, if they don't like the freedoms that the West has, mm-hmm. then they can, and I won't use the words here, but you know, they said get the expletive mm-hmm. out.
Oh yeah,
so
that was impressive,
and it was on live television.
Was impressive.
Whoa.
Mayor of Rotterdam.
A little bit different communication.
And the mayor of London actually spoke out. His name is Boris Johnson. Anyway, he spoke out and said that this guy was his hero for doing
that. Yeah,
that
was one of the first things I ever saw with subtitles, that there was actually bleep marks in a subtitle.
Right, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've never seen that.
Oh, yeah, but
interesting.
I mean, it was like, whoa. You know, you think you're going to hear that come out of Michigan, Detroit, or something like that?
Hey, we've got to head to a break right now, but we will be right back with We the People right after this. So stay right there.
I think some company's overdue. I've started talking to the pictures on the walls.
Welcome back to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL. We have come to yet another end to our program. However, we do have a We the People before we let you go.
So we're not at an end.
And we're not letting you go either after that, because you're going to stick around and listen to Laura Ingram program directly following this one as well. But I'm going to turn things over to Bruce for a few minutes so that he can set us up for this.
Yeah, set you up.
Set me up, Bruce.
Well, yesterday we talked a little bit about the candidates all lining up, and I did the comparison of runners ready for a race. They're all at the starting line. More are coming up to stand at that line. They're looking at one another to see who's going to start off first. And this is on the Republican ticket end that I wanted to focus on. And I heard a thing yesterday that really was good, and I wanted to bring it to your attention if you missed it. And I said yesterday that we were going to do a little comparison of some of these candidates. And because there's a lot of spin, you're going to get sound bites here, sound bites there. And yes, I do have two sound bites here, but I think they're going to be very clear on things, on the difference between these two individuals. Now, of course, the big star on the Republican side that is making noise is, of course, Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush, and we've said it many times here on this show, our opinion is we don't need any more dynasties. We don't need any more Bush dynasties. We don't need any more Clinton dynasties. But Jeb Bush, former governor of Florida. And I want to do a comparison here on their mindset. Now, Jeb, one of the things Jeb Bush has been accused of is for the immigration. And I've always said and will continue to say and push for that these people seeking these high offices, our employees, should be working for us. Should not be degrading us, should be working for us and speaking of our true virtues and values. And a candidate, in my mind, will gain prominence, momentum, and votes if they talk about and reflect the people. One of the problems you're going to have in this primary season as it's fast approaching is it's a dog-eat-dog world, and they're going to be going after each other's jugular. That does no good for the party. They can all talk as civilized human beings. They can all talk the issues and not personal attacks. And that's what we're going to do here. We're going to look at the issues of what these two stand for. And there is a great contrast here. The first bite we're going to hear is a speech that was done by former Florida Governor Jeb Bush, who is trying to be the golden boy of the Republican Party on this. And I want you to listen to what he says about Americans and immigration.
Immigrants create far more businesses than native-born Americans over the last 20 years. Immigrants are more fertile, and they love families, and they have more intact families, and they bring a younger population. The one way that we can rebuild the demographic pyramid is to fix a broken immigration system to allow for people to come to learn English, to play by our rules, to embrace our values, and to pursue their dreams in our country with a vengeance to create more opportunities for all of us. This is a conservative idea. And if we do this, we will rebuild our country in a way that will allow us to grow. If we don't do it, we will be in decline because the productivity of this country is dependent upon young people that are equipped to be able to work hard.
Now, in that, did you hear anything about Americans? Not a bit. Now, of course, we are a land of immigrants, yes, but when I'm talking Americans, that are those American citizens that have been here, pay taxes and things like this, not those that come here for the handout. He says these are conservative. This is real conservative. No, it is not. No, it is not. And conservatism is we the people. We follow the Constitution. We follow the law and the thing about the people itself. Now, I want you to hear a different view. Scott Walker gave his state-to-state speech just the other day. And in that, he talked about the people of Wisconsin, and he talked about the residents, and he talked about his state, and he talked about Americans. And I want you to hear the difference.
Tonight, I'm proud to report to each of you here that the state of our state is strong. The source of our strength is our people. I see it when I tour factories and farms and small businesses. I see it when I visit schools and hospitals and places of worship all across this great state. The citizens of Wisconsin are decent and smart and hardworking, and they are strong. Over the past 4 years, we have put the power back into their hands. In turn, Wisconsin is more free and prosperous.
Quite a difference. And you have to ask yourself, do you want a Jeb Bush, claims he's a Republican? I'm leaning more towards he's a rhino. If you don't know what that term means, is Republican in name only. Or are you going to look at a person like Scott Walker? A person like Scott Walker, if not Scott Walker, gives a speech building people up, referring and reflecting on the people. Reagan-esque. Is what it is. This is what you have to look at, ladies and gentlemen. Not just simply the fact that they give a nice speech. Oh, I mean, communicate giving a nice speech is one thing. But it's the content of that speech and who it's directing. You look at Scott Walker and what he was able to achieve in Wisconsin. He turned that state around. He's a mild guy. But, you know, this is what I personally like about him. Is he's a mild guy, but he did some pretty bold stuff and stood his ground and held firm to his beliefs and convictions. And it came true. And look at the result. Jeb Bush say that? So that's my analysis of these two candidates. I wanted you to hear in their own words. I want you to start thinking of the process of who you want to pick. Who can do the job? Who is a leader? So I'll throw it over to my colleagues here for their thoughts.
I'm definitely a Scott Walker fan. I think all that he's persevered through is really a good quality to...
Two recalls.
Yeah, and something that we want during these hard times, you know, terrorism is unfortunately high. And we need someone who's going to stand strong to what they believe and what they think is right and not be timid and will, you know, maybe be at Paris or be wherever they need to be to show that we are a strong nation. So I think he's proven that time and time again.
I am all for the strengthening of Americans and having folks work for us. And it seems that way. And as Bruce plainly put it out, and in general, you know, even if Jeb Bush seemed like he was a great candidate to most folks, I'm just not comfortable with putting a third member of a family in office, just as I'm uncomfortable putting a second family member in office.
Well, yeah.
And let me put this to the both of you, and it's been proven. Of course, we look at political campaigns, and they're at each other's throats more than they are talking about the issues and what they're going to do. When you get somebody that starts talking the way Scott Walker did on there about the people, about the positive of the people and what this country is and where we can go, versus, well, you know, immigrants do far more better than Americans do. Immigrants start far more jobs than Americans do. Immigrants are wonderful. Immigrants are great. Does that make you as an American citizen feel good?
Yeah, no. And so I like that Scott Walker acknowledged that we already have the talent. We already have the hard workers here. We don't need to bring in other people who are going to... I think there's people in America that appreciate being here. Yes, there's some who don't, but there's definitely a good amount that do. I mean, can't act like we all are terrible workers. And
now, don't get us wrong. We're not talking about no immigration, but proper legal immigration, those that want to be here and follow the system and go through the system.
Yeah.
And you find
They're ignorant. Yeah. That's ignorant.
And I don't think we need to encourage immigration. You know, I think there's a...
Well, I think we need
to... You know,
we
can welcome it in a legal way, but to press people to come here because we need them or else our country's going to suffer.
Yeah, but here's the fact is we're the greatest country in the world. So
there's the fact.
We are encouraging immigration just by the freedoms that we share and the liberties that we preserve throughout our history and moving forward as well. So I would say with some of the things that have happened to the Constitution of late, maybe we're not encouraging immigration.
Because we haven't taken back our country. We haven't understood that it's our country.
Right. Well, we are unfortunately out of time, but I hope everybody will stick around for Laura Ingraham's show following directly this program. From all of us here in the studio, we'd like to thank Sarah, our guest from Dumpster Divers of Philadelphia, repurposing some anyway, her artistry of recycled works is a wonderful idea. But from all of us here in the studio, Corinne would...
We had one other interview, too.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We had one from yesterday. Yes. That's right. And her name was...
No, it was Tom.
Oh.
No, the one we replaced.
Oh, the other one we had today, yes.
Oh, you guys are losing it.
Stephanie Wissman.
That was her name, yes. Talking about the gas in Pennsylvania and new taxes proposed by Governor-elect Tom Wolf. But anyway, now back to it. From all of us here in this studio, we'd like to thank you for listening. And as always, please stay informed.